of it tonight. And this is something I started, I guess it was the week before Easter Sunday, and we spoke that night, or that Sunday afternoon, I guess it was, concerning Christ's resurrection. And what we'll do is kind of a quick review of that. So we saw three aspects there, thinking about Christ's resurrections. It was predicted by Old Testament scriptures, and we looked at a few, and I'll just for review, look at one here in Psalm 16, verse 10. I'll read it. You don't need to look. Psalm 16, verse 10, familiar verse. "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." So the suggestion there is that even after the Lord Jesus is buried, that his body will not decay, that he will see no corruption in his physical body. And then we look at some other predictions in the Old Testament. And then it was also Christ's resurrection was predicted by our Lord in the Gospels. And we looked at some verses in Matthew, and we'll look at just two tonight to refresh our thoughts about what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 16 is the first one. And then Matthew 16, verse 21. "From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." So this is speaking of what the Lord Jesus was communicating to the apostles. And then in next chapter, in chapter 17, verses 22 and 23, verse 22, "Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up.'" So, again, this is the Lord Jesus talking about his own crucifixion, his own death, burial, and resurrection. And then we talked about the great wealth of documented proof of his resurrection, and noted there were at least 17 appearances of the Lord after his resurrection. He appeared to over 500 people, and to some, he appeared more than once. So, again, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is one of the better documented facts in the New Testament. So what we looked at then at some of the impact of Christ's resurrection, and first thing we looked at was the fulfillment of prophecy. We looked at quickly looked at several of the prophecies, and they were fulfilled by his resurrection. And then it was also a confirmation of what the Lord had said in the scriptures, his own prediction of his own resurrection. It was brought to fruition. And then his resurrection is proof that God was fully satisfied with the Lord's sacrifice. If God had not been satisfied with the sacrifice of the Lord, he would not have been raised from the dead. So again, it's a seal, God's receipt for Christ's finished work at the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead as proof of God's approval. And then, really, The resurrection is a central truth of the Christian faith. And if the Lord Jesus Christ had not been raised, we would not have Christianity. You know, and Christianity is unique in that respect. You look at some of the other religions, all their leaders, Buddha, Muhammad, all these others are dead and still in the grave. So in Christianity, we have a risen Savior. So because of the resurrection, there is Christianity as we know it. So You know, are the things I've talked about, do we agree that that's common thinking among 21st century born-again believers, all these things we've covered? And I would suspect, at least among this group, that that's probably, there's not much argument about anything I've said so far regarding the resurrection and the Lord Jesus Christ. But then I got a couple things have kind of impacted where this study went. One of them is, you know, you think of, you know, here we are, we have 2,000 years of development of the Word of God by, you know, various people that have studied, various people that have commented. You know, not all of them have been sound, but, you know, for the most part, you know, we have a good body of evidence and a good body of study on many of the things we believe. I think we're blessed in that regard. Again, you have to be careful sometimes of things that you pick up and read, but for the most part, there are things out there that we can read and gain knowledge from, and in addition to our own prayer and study of the scriptures themselves. So I think in that case, we're blessed. What about the people in the first century? You know, where do they stand in this whole thing? Certainly not in the same sense that we were. They only had a limited amount of the scriptures. They had the Old Testament, and, you know, the New Testament was being written as it was going along. So they didn't have that benefit of things like as we have. The full scriptures are before us, and we can read in different scriptures things that we're interested in and study. But you know, the people in the first century didn't have so much of that. And then the other thing, a couple other factors. I know I really enjoy the first few chapters of Acts. And I know the last time I read through them, I was really taken. I guess it was when I was thinking about this kind of resurrection study, with the emphasis in many of those sermons in those first few chapters of Acts, really focuses in on the issue of the resurrection. And you know, it kind of got me to thinking, well, why was that such a crucial component in these sermons that were preached in. We're going to look at in some detail of the sermons that were preached by Peter, particularly, and we'll look at some of the words and descriptions he uses that talks about the resurrection. Then the other thing was kind of the study that Craig took us through in Daniel. And I found that to be very interesting, what Craig took us through in Daniel chapter 11. And it covered part of this time period. And if you look at the scriptures, you end up, the Old Testament ends up with Malachi, okay? And then there's a 400-year period before the scriptures pick up in the New Testament in Matthew. And you know, what do we know about that time period, that 400-year time period? And I'm not going to, this is not an exhaustive study of that. And I think it might be a worthwhile thing for people to look at, to understand kind of where Judaism went from the time of Malachi, you know, when they went back from Babylon back into Palestine. And then, you know, the things that happened in those four centuries and how it influenced their thinking by the time they got to the first century. But in that 400-year period, here are just a few things that I've focused on. So the first thing we see, Babylon kind of gave way to the Medo-Persian Empire. That lasted for a while, and then the Persian Empire was defeated by Alexander the Great. And then, and Craig brought this out, After Alexander died, Palestine was caught between there were four generals that took over from Alexander the Great, and we have the Ptolemaic Empire down there in Egypt, and the Seleucid Empire up there in what is known as Syria. And that became, and Craig did a real good job of laying out in Daniel chapter 11 the many things that happened there. And the arrow indicates there was much fighting back and forth between that. And guess who was right in the middle? You know, Palestine, Jerusalem was right caught right in the middle of a lot of these conflicts. And as the north and the south fought. So thank you, Craig, for letting me borrow this slide. This was just kind of a reminder of the things that happened in that time. And then finally, Craig talked about Antiochus Epiphanes of Syria and the things that he did in Jerusalem. A couple of things he did. He deposed the Aaronic priesthood line. It was done away with. Put his own priest in there. And then he desecrated the temple in Jerusalem. And then that generated the Maccabean Revolt is what it's called. That there were those in Jerusalem that were fighting against these things that were happening. The last big event was Rome took over that area and took over Palestine. So, you know, the people, by the time you got to the first century, and this is not intended to be a history lesson, but I think, at least to me, it showed, boy, you know, Judaism had gone through 400 years of changes and conflicts and things like that. And, you know, so by the time you got to the time of Christ, there were certainly some areas that were no longer clear in Judaism. So that takes us to the book of Acts. And again, I started out, it's, you know, I have always been interested in the way those sermons are developed in the first few chapters of Acts. And really and up there it talks about Acts, the role of the apostles were as witnesses to the life, death, and especially the resurrection of Jesus. So we're going to look at portions of four of Peter's sermons that address this, that talk about how they were witnesses to what Jesus did, his life, what he accomplished, and then his death, and then especially, as it says up there, the resurrection. So the first one we'll look at is in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And it's Peter talking to the crowds at Pentecost. So this is early in the time after the ascension of the Lord Jesus. And the passage goes from Acts chapter 2. It goes from beginning in verse 14 through 40, but we're only going to look at a portion of that. So let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 14. The first verse describes the setting we're dealing with. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." So he's talking to a large group there. The 11 are with him, and this is where we begin. And then drop down to verse 22, and we'll start reading in there. And he's now addressing the men of Israel. Verse 22, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." So he's reminding them, the men of Israel, that they've seen the same things that that Peter has seen. Verse 23, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. So we see there, again, the reference to the resurrection there in verse 24, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death. So we see this in this in this portion, again, Peter is addressing the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then drop down to verse 29, and this portion speaks with, he's making a reference back to David, who all these men of Israel have been familiar with. Verse 29, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. And again, that takes us back to the verse I looked at in Psalms. So, then we'll conclude this passage with just with verse 32. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. So the 11 and Peter there were all witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ being raised up. So that's the first address to the crowds at Pentecost. And then just over to chapter 3, there's a passage here of Peter to the crowds at the temple. So looking, and that section goes from verse 12 to 26, but we'll only look at about four verses. So drop down to chapter 3, verse 12. So when Peter saw, this was after the healing of a lame man. let me read verse 11 for connection. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon, greatly amazed. Verse 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? So Peter is now going to deflect the glory to the Lord Jesus. Verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised up from the dead, of which we are witnesses. So again, kind of the same theme as we saw in that first passage. Peter's reminding them that they saw these things also, or the people that are the apostles that were Peter saw these same things. And again, it's he talks about him being raised from the dead. So that's the second kind of sermon that deals with the resurrection. And then flip over to the next chapter, chapter 4, and beginning in verse 5, in verse 5, this is Peter addressing the Sanhedrin. Let's see, yeah, we'll read that whole passage. It's seven verses. So beginning in verse 5, and Peter addressing the Sanhedrin. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them, in the midst, they asked, "By what power, or by what name, have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to the helpless man, by what means has he been made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is a stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So, again, we see a similar message that Peter is preaching to the Sanhedrin, to the leaders there. And again, he references the resurrection. And finally, we're going to look at what Peter speaks to the Gentiles. So these other ones have been to the crowds and to the Jewish leaders and those that have been converted. Now, this is to the Gentiles. So flip over to Acts chapter 10. So there's a long passage that deals with Peter and Cornelius. We aren't going to read the whole passage, just the part that deals with the resurrection and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're in chapter 10, drop down to verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That world you know, which has proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, all went about doing good in healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, when they killed, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. So, again, in this whole, these passages we looked at, I think you'll agree that all the sermons dealt with that issue up there, the role of the apostles as witness to the life, death, and especially the resurrection of Jesus. So again, it was a pivotal time in the life of the church, and much of the doctrine at that point was not settled, and the apostles were there to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ to the masses, to those that would hear of him. So that's what I intended to cover tonight. Again, the topic is the resurrection, and I just feel that the resurrection is so important that it's a good idea to look at some of these different parts of the resurrection that sometimes we may not pay as much attention to. So anyhow, with that, why don't we just close in a word of prayer. Father, we again give you thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. We do think of those that witnessed him here on this earth, Father, that witnessed those things that he did, Father, those words that he said, Father, who witnessed his death, Father, at the cross of Calvary, Father, and who were witnesses of his resurrected body. Father, we give you thanks that we can come tonight remembering this one who was raised from the dead, Father, this one who we glorify tonight. Lord, we just again give you thanks for your scriptures. We would just pray that our hearts might be touched by these things tonight. Now, Father, again, we would pray for these matters that were brought up before us earlier. Lord, we would just pray that you would continue to bless our fellowship. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.